Well, we are here with Beth Seifert. She's our Bible study teacher, and she is taking us through 1 Samuel. It's a wonderful Bible study. You can find all the notes on our Bible Studies tab, along with the podcasts. And we just highly encourage you to use the materials and have your own guided Bible studies. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Thanks, Amy. Well, welcome back to the Book of Samuel. And remember, if you remember from yesterday, we just got introduced to the man who would be king of the nation of Israel. And we got some clues into his character, and today we're going to read a little bit further in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 11 through 17. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to there. As they went up the hill to the city, they met young women coming out to draw water and said to them, "Is the seer here?" And they answered, "He is. Behold, he is just ahead of you. Hurry, he has come just now to the city, because the people have a sacrifice today on the high place. As soon as you enter the city, you will find him, before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat till he comes, since he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Now go up, for you will meet him immediately." So they went up to the city. As they were entering the city, they saw Samuel coming out toward them on his way up to the high place. Now the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed to Samuel, "Tomorrow, about this time, I will send to you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel. He shall save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have seen my people because their cry has come to me." When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord told him, "Here is the man of whom I spoke to you. He it is who shall restrain my people." Okay, so we're rejoining our intrepid hero, and we find that his quest gets a little more challenging. All he wants to know is where the donkeys are. But now he has to find Samuel. But to find Samuel turns out to have its own complications. The girls at the well let Saul know that today is a busy day for Samuel, and if Saul doesn't find Samuel before blessing the feast, he may not be able to get to him afterward. Today is a sacrifice, and Samuel is presiding over the sacrificial meal. No one can eat until Samuel blesses the food, so they'll be eager for him to get there and bless the food so they can eat. Saul must hurry to get to Samuel first and ask his question. Again, this tells us of the importance of Samuel in God's plan. How much God has given Samuel to do in interceding for the people at the sacrifice. It also shows how important Samuel is to the people, how much they rely on him for God's word and instruction and favor. And it also serves to show us how Saul's not having heard of Samuel is a glaring oversight on Saul's part. We switch views for a moment and learn that Samuel and God have already talked about our intrepid hero, Saul. Samuel already knows that there will be a man from the tribe of Benjamin whom he must anoint as king. And he even knows about what time of day he will find this man. Notice that God doesn't say, "Now be sure you go and do this and this so that you can find him." Samuel goes about his regular business of the day. He doesn't cancel his blessing on the feast to wait for the soon-to-be king. He knows that what God has told him is true. After all, in God there is no lie. And he knows that God will bring this man to Samuel. This man, this soon-to-be king, will be a warrior king, a king that will deliver the Israelites from the hand of the Philistines. Again, more hints to Saul's nature. He is a warrior. Now, Saul doesn't have a relationship with God, and that will lead to future problems in battle, too, because he can't win on his own ability. It is God who provides the victories against the Philistines. Everything seems to be starting to fall into place here. Saul is looking for Samuel, and now Samuel is looking for Saul. God put them there at the same time and arranged the meeting. I would love to know how God spoke to Samuel. Because as Samuel is going on his way, God speaks to him again and points Saul out to Samuel. Samuel doesn't fall on the ground. There's not a flash of light or a burning bush, but God still spoke and Samuel heard him. How amazing to have such intimate contact with God and such a clear direction from him. Notice, too, that Saul is seeking here. He's seeking the donkeys, so he thinks, but look at how far afield that he has been led in his hunt for those donkeys. Saul is putting forth effort to find what he is missing, to find that which belongs to his father. Interesting, isn't it? God calls us to seek those who were lost and who belong to our father, too. Sometimes it seems like we're hunting for donkeys and end up on rabbit trails. We never know where God will lead us, and we never know who or what he will bring into our paths. We must be prepared, though, as 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 reminds us, to give a defense of the hope that we have in Christ to anyone who asks. Now, as you look at this small section of 1 Samuel today, you can see God actively working in the lives of both Samuel and in the life of Saul. Now, God works in our lives too, often in ways that we don't understand. And God is ready to do amazing things in our lives if we'll just let him. For all that Saul looked and sounded the part of a hero, because of what we'll see as his continual disobedience to God, things do not go well for him. Now, you may look and sound the part of the hero to the world, but if you don't have God, your accomplishments are for nothing. Or you may look and sound the part of the maid to the world, but if you have God, the true blessings you will be given are amazing. Remember, God looks at the heart, and he judges based on that. Good looks and a charismatic style won't impress God. Not to say that good looks or charisma are bad in and of themselves, but when they're not used for God, there's no point. I was speaking with someone just today, and this person was sharing with me how, in tracing their ancestry, they had discovered that they could possibly be related to a king of England from about 600 years ago. And they asked, how would that feel to be descended from the king? And my honest reply was, well, to be a king, a child of the king here on earth, of a humanly royalty, is cool, but it doesn't compare at all. At all to being a daughter of the king. And that's what it's all about. It's not about our lineage. It's not about how important we look to the world. It's not about any of that. Because at the end of our life, the end of our life will still come and we will still have to face God on Judgment Day. And if I'm not prepared for that, it doesn't matter how many royal titles I've got. It doesn't matter what my pedigree is. Just as Paul told us, as he gave his resume to us and told us all of the ways that he should have been one of the most righteous people ever and realized it was for nothing without Christ. So today, as you go about your day, remember, no matter where God has placed you, he has placed you there. And if you are a child of his, it doesn't matter what the world thinks.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.